Good morning, Elsie.
Good morning to you, Jess. How's it going?
Great. How's it going with you? How's it going with you?
I'm good because today I am not at home, so we have decent Wi-Fi, and that's always
great. It's a miracle.
I'm in Pittsburgh right now with decent Wi-Fi, so that's good. But we do have to let everybody know what our situation is for today, right? So that we can just set them up and let them know what up.
I mean, it's probably best.
Yes.
Okay, your producer's hung over because of the Eagles game last night. I know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not it?
That totally went over the majority of our audience's like head. It was like, what Eagles? What are Eagles? No, I'm just kidding.
The Eagles are Philadelphia football, for those of you who don't care.
Right. Yes.
And yeah. So no, it's because my little boy and I both have a little bit of a cold and it was pouring rain this morning. So I decided to keep him home thinking that I could just turn the TV on and he would be angelic and quiet. And so what did he do but break out his little toolbox and start hammering?
Of course.
Like right before we record.
As boys do.
And he also asked me, as boys do. But this one, yeah, I mean, normally, I don't know. It's because I tried to get him to be quiet that he's doing. You can hear it. Yeah. Isaac, that's come on, buddy.
We don't mind.
He's mad because he asked if I would play with it with him and I said I had to work. So I'm being punished. This is all passive aggressive.
Oh, my gosh. Bud. At least he stopped because, I mean, meaning mine doesn't do that. She's just in my face. Come on, Mom. Come on. It's just one more. And I'm like, oh, stop.
See, so he just turned the gears and looked at me like, wah, wah. Because it's making noise. Mm. So I know he's doing it on purpose.
Well, we got to do what we got to do. Yes, we do.
So, looks like we got a lot to get into today.
Yes, we do.
Where do you want to start? We got all kinds of stuff happening. I was in New York last week, so I recorded with Rob instead of you. That was weird, being the both of us not having an Elsie was weird for both of us, I think. It's not weird when I'm with other people, but when I'm with Elsie's other co-host, I think it was odd. It felt a little odd.
Well, I have to say, Jess, you did a fantastic job. That was we're recording on Tuesday. We usually record on Wednesdays, but which means that the episode's really only been out for a day, the one that you're mm-hmm. talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to see is if we got any feedback, because I really got a lot from that episode. I mean, there was just a lot of really great tidbits of information that I think would really benefit a lot of people.
Yeah, one of my podcasters who has made a mistake in the past sent me a note that says, I totally know you're talking about me. Please don't ever say you're dead to me. To me. And I was like, you're never going to be dead to me. Because she's one of the few that has made a mistake like one time and then like is spending the rest of her life guilty and trying to correct it.
Yeah.
So she's fine. But like there have been, I mean, she was like, please tell me there are others besides me. And I was like, many, many, many others. It is not just one or two of my shows. Many of them make mistakes because, I mean, people are human, of course. But, you know, it's like Rob said, like there does have to come a point where you're just like, this isn't working. You just have a learning disability or something is stopping us from giving you the correct instructions and you following through. So, yeah.
Well, you know, if you really think about it in this way, Jess, think about what it takes like to be a great, like somebody who's been hired to do a commercial, right? Somebody who's been hired to do a commercial in both on radio and somebody who's been hired to do a commercial like on TV. So there's auditions, there's people that actually sit there and choose people that can best deliver the product. Because, you know, whenever a commercial is really great, there's either something really fun in the way that it was put together, or a lot of the time, actually, it relies on the talent. The person who's delivering the content at that time is very good at sounding natural and sounding absolutely like, oh, it's no big deal. They're just talking about a specific thing. Now, imagine just grabbing any old person on the road,
right,
the street, and just having them sell something.
So true.
And so that's what we are right now doing, because there is no, let's get the professional person to come in and sell this product. They are essentially grabbing someone who's doing something inside of a show, and they may or may not be good at it. It's different than, you know, doing a show like you and I are doing right now is way different than selling an ad. I mean, mm-hmm. some people can do it really well, but some people just don't have the skills.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm not saying that you can't get the skills. It's just, if you think about it that way.
It is glaringly obvious to me that I have to sort of teach the skills, I think.
Yeah.
You know, that there needs to be like a how to be a good advertiser or spokesman or, you know, whatever the name for that is. I like to say spokesman or paid endorse. What's the word? Yeah, you're a spokesperson. You're how to be a good spokesperson for the products that are advertising on your show, because there's a lot more that goes into it, I think, than people realize.
Yep.
A lot
and
more.
I mean, and I think also speaking from the other side of the spectrum, from the advertiser side of perspective or that kind of stuff, in order for the talent to deliver, there also needs to be an understanding of the way that the show is put together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, times when they are, you know, that the producer might have a timeline. Like there's times even within, you know, movies and TV shows where if somebody wants to work with a specific actor, they're going to have to wait till they're done with whatever it is that they've already committed to doing. So usually it's not like, I mean, there are sometimes negotiations where they'll fly an actor over to do a guest star on another show, but that's like, it's going above and beyond everything, especially if they expect that actor to deliver. Mm-hmm. So there has to be an understanding also that there are also ways that, like, our show can really support advertising. You know, we have a lot of breaks. We have segments in the show where they naturally kind of fall into place. But if you're doing something like my other podcast, like Elsie's Yoga Class, like, there's one break. That's it.
Right.
Like, there's no, I'm not going to be able to do a mid-roll on that. That I'm not going to.
But so you can either be fussy about your content, or you can want to make money and a living with advertising. It can't be both.
Right. I think, you know, who did
I think podcasters think they can. No, don't be sorry. I'm just saying, like, you could. There's always a way. My ex-husband always used to say, I can't means I won't. And there's always a way where if you really wanted to make money with advertising, you would interrupt your class somehow with a mid-roll. You would just say, hold that pose. We'll be back in a second. And then you would do another bumper that said, okay, thanks for your patience and we're back. And then you would just continue with the class. Like, you could do it in every show, find a middle way, you know, somewhere after the 10-minute mark before the ending, and just stick it in there. And stick a few in there if you want to make money. If you don't, and you're just like, well, I can't interrupt my content, I'm not going to do this to my listener. Fine. Then make money a different way.
Right.
That's all.
Can I butt in from the editor's standpoint, too?
Yes.
Because if you do an interview and you have to have a mid-roll and you just do a 30-minute interview and don't leave a space, then the editor's got to crowbar that ad in. So there's got to be, if you're going to record and you know you're going to have an ad in there, you almost have to say, okay, well, hold that thought. We'll be right back.
That's
after
exactly
this brief
right.
message. And then when it comes back, say, okay, we're back and we were just talking about this, and then ask another question. Give the editor a spot to make a break to do this. Because what happens is, what I've done in the past, and some of it's not the person's fault because they've already had these interviews in the can and now they have a advertiser. So what I have to do is, and I use music breaks, like I'll start to fade up some music. And as it goes, you know, as they answer a question, then I fade up the music, then fade down, go into the break, and then come out of the same thing with music. It's the only transition that I can make that doesn't sound like it's crowbarred in there.
I gave my old editor verbal transitions, and I said, pick a time in the middle that seems like a good time to break. And he would go around the middle mark and he would listen, and then he would stop the thing, and then you would hear me saying, we're gonna stop right there for commercial break, we'll be right back. And then he would play my ad, and then I had another piece. He would say okay, now back to the program. That's it.
That's perfect.
It was the same every time.
Yep, that's perfect.
I didn't make it a part of the conversation. You know, like, I didn't have to supply him with anything special. I think the music fade up and down is brilliant. That's a perfectly good way to do it.
I think that I was just going to mention that before, you know, when John was chiming in here. It's interesting because if this is, like, this would be a really great idea for somebody who is just starting out that really wants to at some point have sponsors on the show. And you have to remember that sometimes maybe it could be as simple as brought to you by or something like that, where really it's maybe your own stuff. Maybe it's your own stuff that you're putting in there. Maybe at this time you don't have a proper sponsor or whatever. But from the get-go, to do what John was talking about, which is, it's something that I was just on a show. I was just on Awarepreneurs. I don't think the episode has come out yet. And what Paul did was, you know, it was a pretty long conversation, but he was really focused in on making sure that it was almost to the T, to an hour. And as we were having the conversation through, he was able to kind of guide me through all the points that we were talking about. And then in the middle, he just said, like, wow, that was really great. Let's hold off just a moment and we will be right back. And he was so great at being able to kind of stop. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that there were sponsors here. And maybe there aren't. I don't know. But right. But he really just made a point and we just took a couple of seconds and then he just continued. And the way that he took control of that entire process, it didn't make it feel not natural, like it, because you would think like, oh, I don't want to interrupt the flow of the interview or any of that stuff. He was really able to feel when the point landed, whatever it is that we were talking about. And he was also able to keep the audience moving forward, which meant like, wow, that, like, I don't even know what he did, but he did something like, I just finished saying something and it made it seem like, well, now she just finished this. Now we are going to be, you know, talking about this, this, and this when we come back from the sponsor. So it really made, I don't even know how, it was really great how prepared he was to transition in that. I appreciated that. Maybe, I don't know if he has sponsors, but whatever he's putting in the middle there, I'm sure is, you know, in alignment with everything else. So yeah, you're right.
And there you go.
I'm sure that it can really help. And I have to say that for me, again, for Elsie's yoga class, I wouldn't want to. The end. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. And also, there weren't any real people that I wanted to work with for that show, which was really strange. And the other thing sometimes is like they would come up to me or I was offered sponsors after the fact, sort of like, you know, the sponsors come in for a very gigantic buy. And they're like, oh my God, we need X amount of more downloads. Let's go to get these little guys over here to fill up the, you know, the buy. And so it's sort of like, whatever, we just need download numbers. Pick these guys. They've got good numbers. And it's like, well, no, I don't want to. Well, why not? Well, I don't want to. Well, why not? Because I don't want to. So, yeah. It becomes this sort of like push and pull where it's like, I feel so compelled to be part of this thing because it's a sponsor, but is it really worth it? So,
not if you don't want one. No.
I know, that's what I'm saying. But it's like, it feels like you have to because you're part of this big thing and we would love for you to be part of it. And it's sold in that way. But really, they're just looking for more download numbers. They're just looking for more impressions, not your show, just more impressions to fill out the.
Yeah.
That's all. So how was your experience with NAB? I mean, I know that you kind of alluded to the fact that there were lots of gearheads there and that was like, it seemed like,
Not really for us.
No, there's lots of, I mean, yeah, it's very high end. I mean, some of the you know, the hardware there is like
$1,000 equipment. Yeah. It's right. All kinds of like editing software, but it's like nothing I've ever seen before. Nothing that the average podcaster would want. I don't know that there are even sessions that we would be interested to attend. I don't think it's there quite yet. Like it says it's for audio people, but I mean, these are probably people who have been doing like professional radio and broadcasting for a really long time. And that was only one part of it was the audio. The other part was just a regular NAB. So it was all video cameras, lighting, screens, computers, all kinds of equipment. I mean, I'm making it even sound more cool than it was. I tried to walk around the audio section and I was just like, I don't even know what It wasn't even like being in a podcasting type of show. It was like being in a scientific show about lasers and spectrometers or something. Like, none of it looked normal and usable for anybody like me. And I just would pop in. I popped in, saw Rob's session, popped in, did my session, walked around for a second to see if I needed to stay, realized it was ridiculous, and left. There was just no reason for me to stay because I had no idea what I was looking at.
Yeah. I've never been to NAB. I think the only time that I kind of sort of saw NAB is when it was going on at the same time with New Media Expo, because they were right there, right?
Yeah.
So
and like, even Rob is just like, I mean, I understand why you got, why Libsyn sponsors it. You guys sponsor it in case somebody wants to talk about podcasting, but it's not like he's making amazing, you know, he can't walk around the show and necessarily make amazing connections. They have to sort of come to him because they have to show interest in the podcasting world. Otherwise, it's like, what's the point? It's not like Libsyn needs all that kind of equipment.
Yeah, no. And you know? I think that part of going into NAB is really based on the Libsyn Pro account, you know, and that's right. Actually, making those deals is very important. And most of these, you know, the How to podcasts like this, and the things that we and the people that we serve are not Libsyn Pro users. In fact, they're mm-hmm. probably not listening to our show. Libsyn Pro users are are the people that are buying those thousands of dollars of cameras. They're thousands of dollars. They are established media people who are now trying to, or even not even trying to start a podcast, but like simply creating. It's sort of like, you know, people who are doing the radio shows and all of a sudden they're just repurposing and having podcasts. It's like that. Those kinds of people who have the money, who are really just trying another distribution network, who want these powerful tools, who want to have all of this, you know, white labeled players and, you know, all this extra power and to run their own ad campaigns and do all that stuff. Those are the people that those connections move in through. Right.
Exactly.
So it's total corporate. And so that is why it's important to go there for a company like Libsyn. Right. It's really not that important for us.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a different thing. So should we do some news? No.
The news you can use
for the informed podcaster. Podcasting news.
So this article, I think you brought it over here. Google buys their own iTunes thing.
Yeah.
Business.
What do you think of that? They're buying, what?
Go ahead.
It says, Google acquires 60dB to compete with Apple Podcasts. They acquired the podcast app, which was founded by the former Netflix execs. The transaction should help Google boost its podcast efforts. I mean, Apple did kickstart the podcast genre, but we have no idea. I mean, I guess Google is trying to get their little piece of the pie by acquiring this app. Oh, it says we're shutting down on Friday, November 10th, and we'll be joining the team at Google. We came to the conclusion that in order to accomplish our goals, we'd be better positioned if we joined someone with scale who shares our vision for what's possible with digital audio. Interesting, interesting, interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was so interesting exactly with what you're talking about. This article, really, I did not like the headline. I didn't share it, or when I read it, I was like, do they have a little bit more extra information that we didn't have a couple weeks ago when this thing went down? No, they're just, again, the headline is making assumptions that are not exactly what I feel is actually going down. So, yeah, Google acquired 60dB, and 60dB came out right around the time when like Radio Public came out, and there was another one that I forget the name of it. Like, three of these type of podcast apps came out right around the same time, and we covered them all, Jess. We talked about all of these different apps, and my favorite one was Radio Public. 60dB didn't really, it didn't really do it for me when I first saw what this was about.
Maybe Google can make it better, no?
Well, here's the thing, though, because I think part of what the thing about this is that it's not necessarily that they're going to be using this app. It's that I really feel that Google, what Google bought here is the talent. So on TechCrunch, the article, the headline is Google acquihires team at podcast app 60dB service will shut down next month. That is a headline that actually tells you what's happening. Because what happens here is they're shutting down the app, so it's not going to be developed anymore. These guys that developed this app both worked at Netflix, but there's like one of the guys was a Netflix dude. They have a lot of experience designing or actually coming up with this type of thing, and I think what Google has desired to want here is that algorithm, that search algorithm and the way that Netflix works and all that kind of stuff. They're really hiring the brains behind this. They're not hiring the app or they're wanting to develop the app. I have a feeling that they're going to add this kind of talent to whatever it is possibly that they're developing in there. I'm not sure that they're going to build on this or simply have 60dB all of a sudden have a Google label on the outside of it.
No, they're shutting it down.
Yeah, they're shutting it down. So what I feel Google has done here is that they've hired the team. They wanted the developers.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So that in fact, that doesn't really necessarily like it just it make that. So this Edgy Labs, this thing that you linked into, I read this article yesterday and it just seems like it's like Google, you know, acquires 60dB to compete with Apple Podcasts. But it's like that's not really what it is. They just want to develop better podcasting tools with these people.
Do they or do they want to not have iTunes run the show?
I don't know. I don't think that, you know, I don't think that Google is that.
So you think they're editorializing?
Yes, absolutely. With that title, yes. I think TechCrunch did that article from TechCrunch absolutely brings you like the specifics really quick. And also Business Insider did one too. It says Google, again, acquires podcast app 60dB. That's literally the news is that. And we can speculate on what happens afterwards.
I mean, it does say at the bottom, it's not clear how they're going to exploit the technology and team expertise, but the acquisition should help it secure a chunk of the market.
If they do something about it.
It's all editorializing.
Because the
other... Excuse me.
No, but the other thing...
I didn't realize that.
The other thing that happens too, though, is that there's been a couple of times that the Apple team has bought... I forgot the... Swell. They bought an app called Swell that was a podcasting type app as well. And everybody was like, ooh, Apple buying Swell. What's going to happen with that? What happens is they shut down the app and we haven't heard anything from that again. Mm-hmm. And Swell was also one of the sort of like highlights of Swell was that search functionality of being able to search certain types of things. Or I can't remember exactly how it worked, but that was like its like selling point. And then they bought Swell and it disappeared. So there are times when teams go out there and they will buy certain apps because they want to shut them down or they want to use specific bits and I think it's more about the brains of the people that they've hired. They want those people in. So I don't know. It's just that it's just that one article. It's not that this isn't big news. In fact, we got a lot of feedback for 60dB. It's like as soon as it happened, what does this mean? What does this mean? Did you see this? And we're like, oh my God, yes, we saw it. So I think Google is hopefully listening and wanting to step into the game, which is all great. It's fantastic. I love it. But kind of like staying in this conversation about apps, I'm sort of going to move CastBox into the mix. Have you seen what CastBox is, Jess, yet?
I have seen this, yes. I have, yes. It's like an app that's similar to it looks like what the podcast app used to look like, actually.
Right. It's like,
it's one like, of the- hi, we took Apple Podcasts since you guys screwed it up and we're going to just keep it the way it is. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. One of the best things about this app, I think that actually speaking of good acquisitions, I do feel that maybe Google could have bought this instead of 60dB, and that would have been a fantastic purchase. Mind you, it's created by an ex-Googler, So she used to work at Google, this woman. She is a CEO, female CEO, people. She completely did this on her own. Obviously, she has a developer team or whatnot, but she kind of saw a need and created this app. And the beautiful thing about CastBox, if you have not checked it out, is you need to go download CastBox. It is a free app. It used to be supported by ads. It was one of those free apps that had ads popping into it. But she decided to remove that because of the she wanted to concentrate on the user experience. So that's why she started to raise money.
It's literally identical to iTunes.
Absolutely. And it's so much better because when you're searching for stuff there, you actually get results. Imagine that. And the second thing is
results.
I know. The other thing is that it also does... It gives you results based on the transcription of some shows. So if it doesn't have a keyword in the title or it doesn't have a keyword in the title of the show, it can actually give you results based on the title. The term being said in the podcast. How cool is that? So that's one of the only apps that does that. So the search functionality for CastBox, I feel, is fantastic. This is probably going to be one of the ones that I tell people to download, especially if they're on Android. If you're on Android, CastBox, and you are a new like listener or somebody that has an Android comes up to you and says, like, what are these podcasts? Can you show me like what these are? I would actually send them over to CastBox because it will give them a wonderful experience to be able to discover shows that you've never seen before, where it actually is delivering search results right in your face. And it's a lovely interface. The only thing that I don't like about it is that because they've been focusing in on the Discover, like searching stuff there that is really great, the actual player itself is not as refined. So the player is a little like, it's not as sophisticated as some of the players that I tend to use when I'm listening. And also the show notes at this moment don't have hyperlinks. And that's something that's a little bit of a deal breaker
that's
for
annoying.
Me.
Yeah.
Because most podcast app have hyperlinked show notes and they look so nice and it's so wonderful to be able to click straight through when you want to. But CastBox doesn't have that at this time. But I'm really excited that it's doing so good. In fact, Jess, I don't know if you, I don't think that you listen to as many as of the stats that we do for Libsyn because they're kind of dry and they're at the bottom at the end of the show. But usually what Rob does is that he breaks down by user agent. And then so the user agents are essentially like, well, he'll say like, you know, Apple essentially is always number one in terms of the podcast apps and things like that. Like they rule the world. But then he breaks down the top five other mobile apps that are being used by other people to consume content. And those five apps almost never change. And if there's a new app that comes into the scene, it's very, very low, like almost minuscule amounts of people using it. But what was really interesting is that CastBox rose all the way up to, I believe, number six in one, like just it went all the way up. I mean, so that for us was like a show that of the power of Google, because what happened is CastBox was featured on Google Play, the App Store. And so when it was featured in the App Store, it literally pushed it all the way up. And I think that can show you what an app for Google could actually play in the world of podcasting. So right now, CastBox is doing really well. I'm very excited by it.
Yay.
Yay, CastBox. What did he say?
Yay. He said yay.
Oh, yay. So I want to address one last thing that isn't in the show notes that I feel that people need to know about.
Because oh, no.
I know. It's going to be sucky. But
is it about iTunes?
It is. It's actually about...
No.
It's about Apple Podcasts. I don't think I've talked about this and it's been a problem. So...
Okay.
All right. So now what's happening is that when you go inside the podcast app itself, and let's say you search for, usually what used to happen if you searched inside Apple Podcasts for a term like, you know, marketing or, I don't know, agriculture or any of that kind of stuff. If there was a keyword or yoga, you know, all that kind of stuff. If you went in there because you were looking for a specific podcast that you didn't know have a name on it, but you had a keyword, you would get results. Like you would get the podcasts, you would get, and you would get a lot of episodes. So you would get a lot of episodes that were in alignment with that. So back in the day,
I would type in agriculture and I did get that.
Okay. So now, here's what I want you to look. I want you to look at the amount of results that you got because, so if you typed in agriculture, you would have gotten the first screen probably has 4 podcasts, right?
Yeah. And then when you see all, it's 7.
It's 7. And that is it though.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. So here's the problem though. Before, when I used to type in that, you would get the podcasts and then you would get hundreds of results. So you would just keep on scrolling down, just like Google, where it's like, you know, page 1, 2, 3, and you can keep going down a rabbit hole. And especially for the episodes, whenever you got into the episodes, you would really get a lot of results. And so I was able to discover a lot of different shows. Like when I was doing a lot of learning about Facebook ads, I actually went inside of the podcast app and I searched Facebook ads. And I got, not only did I get the shows that were all Facebook ad specific, but I got like a slew of results of other podcasts that had covered Facebook ads. And so I was able to listen to all that. Now that's not there anymore. And the results are skewed to a very specific type of podcast. So these are like the parameters around that you've got essentially a ton of all-time subscribers in iTunes. That's the number one skewer. A ton of all-time subscribers in iTunes. Nothing else. So the results that you're getting are people who have been in iTunes since its inception usually, and most of them have pod faded. So you're not getting any of the current podcasts that are covering whatever it is that you're covering new. So it's kind of disappointing and very frustrating. The only way you find a podcast in Apple Podcasts now is if you have the direct name of the podcast. You have to type that, the exact name in order for you to get that result. And if you don't have that, you can't find it. So you can't tell somebody at this moment, go search for, because if you search for the feed, we don't even come up because we just don't. We don't come up. It's like you can't. You have this.
What comes up? Horse feed?
No, you should see the things. Like the one that feeds you comes up. There's the other feed, the feed that's like the food feed. That one comes up.
I want to see. Hold on. I got to try it.
It's like it doesn't come up. And there's no way for you to really, if you just type in the feed, not if you type the entire name of the show, which is the official Libsyn podcast, then it would come up. But if you just type in the feed, you get all kinds of funky results. And it's not any of the ones that are about the feed. So that's very frustrating.
Yeah, it's Daily Feed by Slate.
Yeah, and then look, the one you feed, Frog Pants Studios, Ultra Feed, Bible Study Podcast, Podcast Feed. And if I see all, there's a feed podcast. Then another one that's Jenston Franklin RSS feed, major, you know, it doesn't come up. So it's you have to either share the direct link to your podcast's app URL or tell them the exact name to search, or I don't even know what to say. It's just messed up at this moment. Hopefully they'll open that up. But in terms of frustration with yet another way that Apple is not delivering, this is frustrating. I hope that they do change this because that's a major bummer.
You know what's really frustrating? When you're trying to record a podcast and your kid keeps throwing Mr. Potato Head pieces at your face. That's also frustrating. In fact, more so than what Apple's doing, I would say. I'm not going to lie. I can't even get mad at what you're talking about because I had nose and then shoes. Oh, and then the whole potato. The whole potato just right across my lap.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Did you get the angry eyes?
No, he only has the funny eyes. I don't think we have the angry eyes.
I didn't even know there were angry eyes.
Well, he has eyebrows.
Oh.
He can. You can do eyebrows,
That's
I think.
That's right. You can't do eyebrows.
Yeah.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for that iTunes, Apple Podcasts update, Elsie. Maybe we should just do a segment.
Oh, no. I know. We're
we'll
gonna
do
be
a
like-
segment of Elsie, you know, I'm trying to think of what to call it. That's clever.
And
another
also-
update. And I'll do it like this. Another Apple Podcasts update by Elsie. Womp, womp. And then you can just start.
I know. And then I would be like, hi, like very happy, like super, super like, oh my God. No, that, I'm sure that. Sorry,
we should
guys.
Just do a segment every time.
I know. Just bringing more death.
You're like Debbie Downer with the iTunes thing.
I know. But yeah. I don't know if there's
womp,
a segue.
Womp.
Womp. Womp. I don't know if there's a segue out of this into something more joyous, but
let's see. Dirty podcast. Dirty John?
So
is
I guess
that
this would be kind of like a little bit up your alley because you've been thinking of also doing a, you know how people keep asking like, how do you monetize a podcast? All the time.
Who, me?
No, yeah, not you, but me asking.
That was
asking
John.
The world. Oh, what? What? What do you mean?
Who, me?
The who?
Oh, that was John. See, now I'm so confused. I'm like, yeah, you.
It's
hello. Yeah, it's you.
Too many drops on
too
the
many
podcast.
Drops on the
too
many drops. So this is a new, the new, like, I guess people are really loving this podcast. It's called Dirty John.
Dirty John, yeah. Who, me? It's Dirty John.
Dirty John
is a fascinating tale of murder and mayhem.
Yes, it is. And so, yeah, if you want to listen to that kind of stuff, go ahead and binge listen to it. Or actually get this, Jess. It is actually completely and utterly readable. So he did a 6-part series where it's completely written out. So you don't even have to listen. You could just read. And from some of the reviews that I've read, reading of it is much better experience than listening. So,
oh, really?
That.
Why?
Well, I think that the story itself, as it's being read, is very beautifully written and evocative. Whereas the show itself, because I did listen to all of it, so I've listened to the entire thing. I don't think it's as good as the written word either. And what's interesting is that they have bits and pieces of the interview with the women that were involved in this. And I have to say that sometimes people's voices kind of turn you off. And then there's times where I'm like, really? This, like, I was a little perturbed by the, I don't even know how to say it, by some of the crazy choices that were made by some of the women in this scenario here.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
It's tougher. It's kind of weird. Like when somebody's telling the story about somebody else going through this and like taking the guy back and all that kind of stuff, there's one layer of understanding. But when the interviewer is actually asking the woman, like, why did you take him back? And she kind of doesn't even have an answer. Like there's a point where you just kind of go like, oh my gosh, like is this
How
for
do
real?
You not have an answer.
Yeah. Like, well, like it's just so kind of crazy because it just seemed like.
I think women do that because they don't have anything better to do.
Oh, but this was, I mean, it was just so crazy, though. I mean, I'm sitting there going, I hope.
And also, he was very persuasive.
Well, it doesn't matter. He
very
was
persuasive.
Scary, is what I'm saying. He was scary.
But he would be scary and then convince you. Have you?
That's why I'm not too judgmental.
Haven't you been in a situation where the person is off and then they convince you that you're off?
Of course.
Well, so that's what was happening.
Yeah.
Like, I used to get mad at my ex for spending all the rent money on pot, and then he would say things like, lighten up, Francis.
Right. And then you would go,
you're no fun. I deserve to have, I deserve to, I work 16 hour days. We have two children. Like, if I need to, you know, do this, then it's not fair for you to, and I'd be in my head, I'd be listening to this going, right, but it's the rent though. But it's the rent though.
Yeah.
But isn't it the rent though? You know, like, but, and yet still you, I mean, it's partially for the sake of knowing you're not crazy, but not wanting to argue. You know what I mean? It's just like, you can only argue so much.
Yep.
So he was, and maybe, you know, and like her at the time, I don't think, it's not that I had nothing better to do, but I didn't have very many options. I was really young and had a baby and I don't know what her deal was, but in a class in college, it was a communications class, but it was like one of those, it was called Love and Gender or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I learned that women stay in a relationship. They don't stay in a relationship based on the relationship. They stay in a relationship based on what they think is the alternative. And depending on what that alternative is, they'll stay. So for example, if they feel like, even though he hits me, is he the best I can do? Is there anyone else out there that will give me X? If not, they'll stay and put up with it, depending on whatever it is their values are. So if the value is to have a handsome husband or money or athleticism, whatever it is, they'll stay.
Yeah.
It's sad, but it's true. And if you look at women who stay in the relationships like that, at least for me, I kind of stayed till I felt like I could have better options, or at least until I knew I wasn't crazy, you know?
I think that part of it, you're right. I think that there's a lot of different layers to this. And I think one of the reasons that I was so is because I've been there, and I would hope that when I am, I guess, you know what it was?
Like, this
it
guy
was
didn't like, hit her though, I right? Was like, he was just nuts. Like, I never got hit. I wasn't in a physical relationship
well, he
at all.
Was,
I
mean,
just
there
was being manipulated because he was older and I was insecure. So he seemed smarter until he didn't.
Right. No, he right? was absolutely a dangerous human. I mean, he really was. There were like countless, there was like all of these things that she found out about him, that there had been a myriad of, what do you call those things when, restraining orders. There were a lot of restraining orders put out with other women that had put from him. He had totally stolen from them. He was jailed. He was in jail. I mean, there was like all of these crazy things that he had done where she found out about it. And that's why she ended up sort of like leaving him and wanting to get the marriage annulled. And then all of a sudden, she took him back. And I was like,
I know.
Oh my God. And she has older daughters. And she had like,
I know.
All the money she had. So I was just like, are you not afraid he's going to take half of your life? I mean, how can you pay for, I don't know. Anyway, so all that shit, I was just like, what the hell? Regardless though, people are loving it because it's an interest, because you can't not listening. I mean, you can't like, you kind of want to know like what happens, right?
Yeah.
Because in the end, I'm like, this guy will make her life hell for the rest of her life. Like, he's that kind of person who will forever mess your life up for the rest of your life in all kinds of different ways. But the but the reason that I'm bringing this forward is because this was a headline. And this, so here's the headline on DigiDay. And it said, how the Los Angeles Times used hit podcast Dirty John to drive newsletter signups. Because, and so I'm bringing this forth more from the marketing point of view for podcasters, because we get these questions all the time. How do I get people to sign up for my show, or if that works, or how to make money podcasting? Because one way to do it is to get people to sign up to your email list, and then you can sell them on your stuff, right? Because that's
right.
Part of the thing. So here's some information that they mentioned on the show. And mind you, this is one of the biggest shows right now in podcasting. I don't know what their numbers are, but it's getting a ton of press and it is hitting all the buttons where people like to, you know, this is the kind of stuff the majority of people kind of are really into. So it said, 2 weeks prior to the series debut at the beginning of October, the Times ran teasers for the series across the print issues, along with the digital house ads, telling readers they should download the Essential California newsletter to find out when the new episodes of the show would be available. So anybody that visited Dirty John's written components on the Times site also got a Bounce Exchange notification calling for people to sign up for the newsletter. So that's smart, right? So that's like essentially a pop-up. And they were already sort of driving the narrative around, you need to listen to the show. You got to be in the know. And the way that you know this is through the newsletter. And that campaign itself generated over 21,000 new signups, more than five times the total that the newsletter had attracted since the beginning of 2017 when it launched. The podcast itself was also a big success. Its episodes have been downloaded, oh, here we go, over 5 million times in less than a month. So that's a lot of downloads, and it's also a lot of newsletter signups. But here is where I find that the information from here is really valuable for you guys. So even though there were all of these signups and even though all of this stuff came through, here's what they say. That didn't drive many immediate subscriptions. And this is subscriptions to the LA Times, because that's really at the core of this is that the LA Times is suffering. Most newsletters are suffering. They want to make money to stay afloat. So signing the newsletter thing is great, but really what we really want is the subscriptions. So that all of this stuff has not driven many immediate subscriptions, with Campbell calling the overall subscriptions during that period fairly average. But Campbell is confident that there will be chances to convert them later.
I think so too.
Right. Email, Campbell said, is a top three subscription channel for Tronk, which reported 220,000 digital subscriptions across its titles in its most recent earning report. Yes. So that's the first step, right? Getting people to sign up for the newsletter. But what I want to drive home here is that the immediate success of getting people to convert, which is what we, those of us that are wanting to make a living in some way, sell some courses, sell some consulting, sell some whatever we are selling, it doesn't happen right when they sign up to the newsletter. And it might, when do you think? I would love to hear, like, again, maybe at the end of what? When? How long should we give them, Jess? If we were to approach Campbell here and say, so how did it work out? What are the conversions? When did you start to see?
Depends on how long the show, I mean, isn't it like a finite?
Yeah, it's done.
The show's done, right?
The show's done, yeah.
I don't know, like a couple months, 3 months.
Okay. Because I mean, I would like to know that too, because I feel that we don't have that kind of data. It's like you get like, 21,000 subscribers, right? And they had a really great campaign to be able to drive people to sign up. But all in all, what happens next? And did it actually happen? Yeah. And do they have supporting material? Because Dirty John is what got them in there. If you don't have any more Dirty John like things to offer, why are people going to stay opening up your newsletter?
Well, and what else? Right. What else are you offering?
Yeah, exactly.
What's their incentive now?
Right.
To subscribe? It's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what the answer is either.
Yeah. I mean, it's great that they did this. I think that it was a smart campaign. Really good. I mean, in terms of driving the subscription,
it's certainly worth learning from. For
yeah.
Sure.
So I'm interested to see if it actually helps the LA Times, because I thought like part of the, I don't think they really had to invest. Well, you know what? I shouldn't say that, because I'm not sure what it took to get all of that audio, because it wasn't like necessarily the podcast itself is not beautifully edited, meaning with all of the wonderful transitions and that it sounds really thoughtfully put together. I don't even know how to say
thoughtfully?
That.
Thoughtfully,
I guess.
Thoughtfully put together?
Yeah, thoughtfully put together. I mean, it seemed a little bit, if I may say, a little amateurish. But it's okay with me. Like, I don't mind that. I think it was great because the story was so strong that I really enjoyed it. But I think, I don't know what they got. Like, they had so much tape and interviews with all of the women and a bunch of the guys in there and with the lawyer and all kinds of people's voices in there. So I don't know what it took for this writer to go and get all that tape. And I don't know if he did that in the first place and that's why he wrote the story. So it was sort of like he does that anyway. And then he wrote this story, and then they go, why can't we take this tape and make it into a podcast? And it was, I don't know if that's what was a thing, right?
Right.
So, but anyway, I just thought that we should do that. Do you want to talk about this longer episodes thing you put in here? I don't know what that means.
Yes, I know you don't know what it means.
Okay.
Basically, we got feedback that says, I was listening to your show and I love when you talked about X, Y, and Z. I really miss the longer episodes. Why did you guys cut them?
No, I don't think that it was that. It was that last one that we had was 40 minutes long. Do you remember why?
No. No, this is before. That has been, this has been in my email for a while.
No, it hasn't, because I saw exactly when it came through, because I looked at the times.
Oh my God.
I looked at the times when I saw that email.
Okay.
The last episode that she wrote about, it was when we released that 40-minute episode.
But she said a few of them have been short.
Mm. What do you guys think? Because I'm still, I don't know. I mean, I'm cool with 90 minutes. I'm cool with 90.
But no, you're not.
But it's like, it has to have like the amount of information that really needs to be in there.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, right. So, yeah. I mean, and there's like, it's sort of like if you're like finished at a party and then you're kind of done with the party, you got to go. You don't stick around until everybody's gone. I mean not
this
me.
This party Maybe is that's... currently rowdy. This particular party has a lot of bikers in it and like some, like remember the end of Weird Science when like all the bikers show up and start spitting on the floor and like smell it. Remember? And Anthony Michael Hall's like, you come in here stinking up the place. And believe me, you do stink. Do you remember that?
No.
You've never seen Weird Science, John? Do you remember that?
Oh my God. It's one of my favorite movies.
It was so long ago. It was so long ago.
Oh my God. His grandparents are in the closet. It's so good. Well, that's my situation right now. I've got the stinky bikers at this party. Slamming open doors, throwing toys in the mashed potatoes.
Oh my God.
Bothering dad, bothering mom.
I remember there was one time when the girls were so quiet and I was so excited. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. And then I opened the door and the entire living room was, I don't even know how they did what they did.
I'm just watching it. I'm not even in another room. I'm actually watching it take place. He's in the toy box throwing stuff behind him like he's in a cartoon. It's ridiculous. He's like his own little cartoon character. It's horrible. So, yeah, that was about the longer apps. You don't want to talk about the telenovela thing?
Oh, my gosh. So let me really quickly talk about the telenovela thing. So I was kind of proud, you know, when I saw that because of the headline. Because, again, I fall into the headline of some of these things. And it said the first ever bilingual podcast is also a telenovela, you know, and I'm like, oh, OK, cool. So I went and looked at it. And, you know, Kate del Castillo, I've been following Kate del Castillo since I was a teenager, because at the time that I was introduced to her as like sort of like a famous actress, she was doing a novela in Spanish called Muchachitas. So all of you ladies, I expect to hear you guys out there who are my Latino women who watched Muchachitas when you were a teenager.
Muchachitas.
Tell me about it because I will love you forever. But anyway, I was watching Muchachitas and there was like essentially a bunch of teenage girls in high school going through, you know, all kinds of love things. And that's what I used to watch. And she was the evil one. She was like one of the evil ones in there. She's always cast as the evil one because she's very dramatic looking. She's very dramatic looking. And her face. And anyway. So I'm like, okay, so Kate has come up and whatever. And I saw that this article came up and I thought, oh, this is neat. It's like, this sort of narrative type podcast. It's called Celestial Blood, where they, I mean, the story is very convoluted. It's sort of like the story of Sol and Mundo Lucero, brother and sister twins who travel to Mexico from New York to their estranged father's funeral. And then once they go to the funeral, they find out that they've got 9 long lost siblings who help them learn family secrets. And so it's called Celestial Blood because every single one of the children is named after a planet.
Wow.
I know. And so that I'm like, okay. Crazy. Right? And so then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to check it out. I have to say that I was very sad when I heard it. I am a professional podcast listener and I am open to almost everything and I will listen. I could not get through the first like 10 minutes of this.
Oh my God.
That is exactly how I felt, sadly. And yeah, no, not so good. Not so good. And Kate, is it in that? Well, Kate is the narrator in the show. So she narrates the story. And then there are other voice actors that come in that play the parts of all of the celestial siblings that are around there. And I think that the script probably is not so good. I mean, I may be wrong, but it was not my cup of tea, and I'm very sad because I don't know. And so in this article, here's a quote from the article that got me very excited. It said, quote, "A lot of my work in journalism is to make sure that different kinds of voices and people are being included and we hear from them," she says. "So I really wanted to create a podcast for a public that's being ignored for the most part. My goal is to start a small revolution and to bring more Latinos to the medium and get more people to listen to them," end quote. So I want that myself.
That's you running the show right now. Is it going well?
Yeah.
You're just like, how much can I talk?
Well, I know. I was like, where did Jess go? She left, I think.
Well, first he grabbed the mic stand.
Oh, my God.
And then he started shaking it. And then when he let go, he poked himself in the eye.
Oh, of course.
Are you okay? Yeah? Are you going to be okay? Sad muffin. I know you need me. Give me a hug. Come here. It's okay.
Oh my gosh.
It's okay. Shh, sad muffin. Are you okay? I'm sorry. Did that hurt your little eye? Yeah. Are you all better? Wait, is your eyeball still in there? Let me see.
No.
Where'd it go?
I don't know.
Is it on the floor?
No.
You better find your eye.
My eye.
Is it lost?
No, yes, it's lost.
It got lost?
Oh, it's here. It's here.
It's here? Okay, good. Oh, he's touching it. Okay, good. It's here.
Oh, good.
That was a joke.
I know.
I think. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Descended in tragedy.
Oh, but he is
much like
now.
The telenovela.
Yes. Yes, very much. Very much,
much
like
the telenovela.
You are correct.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to tell you about, which did I tell you about this already? I did.
No. Did you?
Yeah. So I was in New York and I was telling like my dad and his two 70-year-old buddies were asking me about how to listen to podcasts and like how to do it. And I was like showing them at lunch, like the podcast app and how to work it and stuff. And then my dad's friend Larry was like, "Well, wait a minute. Doesn't it work if you just ask Siri?" And I was like, "Siri's not going to come up with your podcast." And he holds down Siri and he goes, "History podcast." And yes, seven of them came up. You can totally tell. That's Siri. Awesome. Play, you know, find She Podcast, and it will come right up in the app and everything.
That is nice.
So for those of you who are trying to figure out how to teach people how to listen to your podcast, check Siri, see if it works, and then tell people. You don't even show them the app. Don't even do a screenshot. Just say, "Siri, play this podcast," and see what happens.
Oh,
or
my
you
gosh.
Mean, obviously, you We're test it first.
Of course.
Yeah. Try it and try to see what to tell Siri and then tell your audience, "Listen, you want an easy way of doing this? Siri, X and Y and Z." And then your audience now has an easy way of listening to your show without having to fiddle with the app.
I love it. We're going to have to try it because that actually plays into what I was talking about, which is that inclusion, right, for the people that are kind of being ignored and that don't get some stuff. I think the challenge here is very exemplified by this telenovela thing happening, where the telenovela, that it's not executed in the way, like, the translation between one genre into another was not strong. And I cannot imagine my, you know, aunts who to watch these telenovelas sitting there listening to this, because it was really not up to par. It was very tongue-in-cheek and kind of silly and funny, and that didn't even appeal to the younger audiences, like the millennials and stuff. Like, there needs to be more. Like, I wanted more, and I was the idea and the ethos that this woman brought forward, I was like, yes! Yes! So that's why I was all in. I'm like, I'm going to listen to this thing. I'm going to do it for the, because I want to support. And then I just couldn't get through it. And that made me sad. So, yeah.
This whole. That's funny.
But hey, if somebody else finds it appealing, go check it out so you can look at Celestial Blood. And you can go check that out and download it, and then let me know if maybe I'm wrong, because it is bilingual. It's like, here's like English. It's essentially primarily English, and then it kind of goes back and forth. Like, there's like Spanglish in there and some Spanish things happening too. But yeah, it's both. So how's that?
Awesome.
All right.
It's a good place to stop.
Yes, it is. It is a good...
Before he pokes his actual eye out.
Yeah, that would not be good. So if you guys have any feedback, you guys can send us some feedback over to feedback@shepodcast.com. feedback@shepodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @shepodcast. You can check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/shepodcast. And of course, our She Podcast group was heading, you know, closer to 8,000 peeps right now. We've just updated our rules and regulations. Woohoo! So you can go and check, you can go and check that out. But thank you, Jess. And thank you, Isaac, for doing
thank
your
you.
Absolute
Come here, Isaac. Do you
want to
say anything?
Yes.
Come here.
Isaac.
Do you want to say anything into the microphone?
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
I want to tell my daddy we're watching TV because it's over.
Yeah, the movie's over.
Yeah.
And mommy's all done recording. Are you happy?
It's not school day.
Do you think you want to sing a song to the people before we go?
Yeah.
What should we sing? Should we sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat?
That's off.
No, don't take that off. Row, row, row your boat.
He has his mother's mic technique.
Yes, he does. I was about
if you see an alligator.
Don't forget to scream. Ah! Oh, my God.
I just lost my hearing.
I didn't expect him to do that. Sorry. Okay.
Okay.
That was unexpected.
You're telling me.
Good ending. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. Sorry, it was a giant pain in the ass. Stop touching my mic, boy.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you guys later. Okay. Thank you.
Love you.
Bye. Love you. Mean it. Yay.